fun. I know it's going to be fun. The reason why it's going to be a fun interview is because I checked out this woman's website, and she looks like she has way too much fun at her job. So I am honored to have with us, I am Julie Brain Lady Anderson, by the way, the show hostess for Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire Show. And we have the wonderful Rachel Kilmer here as our guest on our show today. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, this is awesome. I can't wait to have the conversation. Before we get started, let me just read to everyone kind of your, you know, your professional bio so they get a little bit of your background, and then we'll have a fun conversation, I'm sure. Rachel Kilmer is a Kansas City-based realtor licensed in both Missouri and Kansas. She spent the first part of her career as an Emmy-nominated local sports reporter, tracking the Royals' postseason runs, covering Chiefs games, and staying on top of all the college football and hoops. All things college football and hoops. Rachel transitioned to real estate in 2020, where she quickly repurposed her skills through TikTok to connect with the community, sharing the 411 on the city and its housing market. Since launching her TikTok, she has gained nearly 19,000 followers and 2 million views and counting. In 3 short years in real estate, Rachel is closing in on helping over 100 Kansas Cityans buy or sell a home and logging a lot, or total sales volume of over $23 million. Rachel has been featured on HGTV's House Hunters and was honored in 2022 as one of Ingram's Business Journal's 20 in their 20s. Most recently, she was named the 2023's best real estate agent in Kansas City by The Pitch. How fun is this? Thank you, Rachel, for being on the show.
Yeah, sorry for that mouthful of words.
That's all good. It gives us some fun background. I mean, it's a pretty different, it's a very different, like being a broadcaster, talking sports, to buying and selling homes. So you'll have to kind of fill us in. How did you get in? Like, why were you drawn into the sports casting, and then how did you make that transition into real estate?
Yeah, well, I was born into a sports family. I had no choice but to be a diehard sports fan. And Kansas Cityans are also like their own breed of sports fanatics here. So it was really natural for me to go into sports broadcasting. It's kind of a crazy long story how I ended up there. But long story short, I won a competition when I was 19 to be the chief sideline reporter for a game. So I got to fly up to Green Bay and walk on Lambeau Field and do a report from the sideline at 19 years old. And the former Chiefs quarterback Trent Green was in the booth. So if anyone is from Kansas City listening, they're like, oh my God, it's so cool. It was so cool. So after that, I got the bug and I was like, I have to do this for a job. Seemed like a long shot, seemed like being an actress or a singer or something, but it worked out. And in TV, you kind of have to move where the jobs are. So I went out to the second smallest TV station in the country in Western Nebraska first, and then Wichita, Kansas for a couple of years, and ended up back in Kansas City. And then the station I was at in Kansas City was experiencing layoffs. So I kind of knew the end was near and had to decide if I wanted to move to a different market to continue pursuing television or stay in Kansas City. And I decided I wanted to stay home. I'm from Kansas City and I had finally made it back. I didn't want to move again. And actually ended up working in sales for 2 years at a local senior living community in the middle there. And I loved it there, but really wanted to be my own boss. It was office hours, all that good stuff. I would have stayed there forever if they would have had the flexibility and like the ability to kind of run my own business, but it didn't. So I learned a ton there and then took, you know, I was like, what can I do that I can use my sales skills and then also pull from all this TV experience? And real estate was just a really natural fit for me.
Interesting. Very interesting. And I noticed when I looked at that, because your website is Rach, just R-A-C-H, mm-hmm. The realtor, Casey.com. And that is Missouri, you said both Missouri and Kansas.
Yeah. So Kansas City sits in Missouri, but the whole metro straddles both states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say you can get into both over the river, yes. Depending on which one. So you, I was looking at your website and you are your own realty firm, right? With your own team. So you're not working for one of the big firms or big realty companies. You are you.
I am. You have to have your license with a broker. So you, unless you get your broker's license, you still have to be with a brokerage. So I'm with a brokerage called Reese Nichols. It's regional, based out of Kansas City. But then my team, yeah, we are like our own entity under Reese Nichols. So real estate agents, even though you have a boss, quote unquote, you have a broker that holds your license is how they say it. They're not your boss. There's no one telling you, you must do this or that. It's really kind of each person for themselves. And that's why a lot of agents form teams for accountability and structure and things like that.
Got it. Got it. Well, as I said, it looks like you have a lot of fun, and which is probably how you got your TikTok followers, but we'll get to that. Because you are also a single mom, mm-hmm. and you're running your own business, building your own business. So that is a lot. And I know that there are a lot of wonderful women who are, as we like to say, as we're gently rebranding into Women Excelling Everywhere, there are a lot of wonderful women that are out there excelling in their career or in their business who are single moms, but they still have those struggles. There's just struggles that are unique to those who don't have a partner at home. How do you manage doing that, building your career, and how many kids do you have?
Just one, but she's three, so I might as well have 10.
Okay. Yes. Oh, and then when she's a teenager, you might as well have 20. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah. So how do you manage that?
Yeah, well, it's a lot. And I also, like, before I go into this, want to acknowledge the women out there that do have partners that maybe aren't the most supportive are carrying as much of a load as the single moms, I think. So I see that a lot. But you know, I have an incredible support system. Like, I will say first and foremost, I have a great amount of just like privilege and like luck and like amazing family. So I could not do it. I strategically moved back to my hometown for one thing. Like, I have chosen to stay in my hometown, even though there's like cooler parts of the city to live in. I've stayed here because my community is here and my people are here. And like the whole, it takes a village to raise a kid. I have a village. I really, really do. And so my heart goes out to people that don't, because that I lean on them immensely. I also just hustle and grind, you know, and throw my kid in the car for showings and sometimes shove at YouTube or snacks in her face when I shouldn't to try to answer a phone call. But I just try to like give myself grace that it's just a season and be really honest with my clients. Like, I really try to protect these evening hours between this time and this time. It's my only time with my daughter every day. I'll call you after I get her to bed at 8, kind of thing, and try to set boundaries in that way. And most people are really gracious and understanding, especially if they know that I don't have any help at home.
You know, I think that's, I admire you and applaud you for that, because that is one of the things. Setting those boundaries is something that's very difficult for a lot of women. I talk a lot, as you know, when I put on my Brain Lady Julie hat and I talk about, you know, brain health and mental health, I talk about the importance of self-care and setting boundaries and knowing when to say no. And it's tough. I mean, even though that's what I talk about, there are times when I'm you know, I told the last guest, you know, I'm coming off of a couple of weeks of just hard travel, and I'm like having to listen to my body and go, okay, wait a minute, I got to slow down for a week, because it was rough. So it takes a lot to sometimes set those boundaries and then keep those boundaries. So I applaud you for doing that. That's a great piece of advice to women. Do you have in that, this isn't necessarily something I prepared you to ask, but do you have a kind of a routine of self-care, or times when you're able to even step back from being mom of a three-year-old and just being Rachel and taking care of Rachel for a few minutes a week?
Yes. I try to. It is a work in progress. Same thing with the boundaries. It's like, you know, you set them and then you're like, it's okay this one time. And then you like, you get back again. But, you know, lately I've been really committed to going to the gym in the mornings. And that comes out of my working hours. So I drop her off at daycare at 8 and then, or 7:45. And then I'm at the gym from 8 to 9. And I, just today, I was like, gosh, I could have used that hour of my day, and then, you know, showering after and all that. But I just think that, like, if I'm going to be doing this for the long haul, I can't run my body into the ground. So that has been really great for me. And as someone that kind of grew up in the thick of like diet culture and weight loss, this is literally, I am going for my mental health. I'm going to the gym to physically work out the things I need to work out. And like, if there's physical gains from it, that's great. But the goal is just to like care for myself by going. So that's been really, really life-giving for me. I'm trying to be a 6 a.m. wake up girl, but I have a 3-year-old that is in a sleep regression. So that hasn't been happening lately, but on the weeks it does happen, I take a little time to write out. I have 10 goals for myself. I write them as if they already happened and then write down 5 gratitudes. So those are the two things that I really like to do to kind of care for myself. And then the other is like just some guilty pleasure TV at the end of the day, just like turn off my brain, watch The Golden Bachelor and live my best life.
I love it. I love it. And I have to echo your feelings on exercise. One of the things as a brain health professional that I always tell people is that is sleep is number one. Good quality sleep is number one for your brain health, because if you're not getting good quality sleep, you can't think, mm-hmm. right? So you can't think about what are your 10 goals? What are your 5 gratitudes, right? If you're just brain dead. And two is exercise. And if you take that approach of doing it for your physical health and your brain health, your mental health, that's so much more important really than the other aspects of it, you know, than the aspects of weight loss or looking great. It's like, that's not the top reason why anyone should be out there doing, you know, doing something and taking that time early in the morning. I'm one of those two. It's harder this time of year when it's darker earlier. My brain is like really connected to the light, right? So it's a little hard to get up early, but I do the same thing. I like just taking the time. And I have probably a good 30 minutes where I'm just sitting outside looking at the trees and just being that gentle move from sleep into, you know, full gear. So those are great tips that I think is wonderful for the listeners to see if they can, you know, incorporate on some level. So thank you for that. Now, we talked about that transition from being a sportscaster into the real estate market or being a realtor. What were there any skills? Like, they seem like two completely very different, you know, career paths. Were there skills in the one, in the sports casting, that kind of flowed over or have helped you in building your business in the home market or in the house selling market?
Absolutely. Anyone that owns a business and is like a hiring person, look at former TV reporters, because they have such a diverse skill set that you don't think about in terms of networking, building relationships, having difficult conversations with people, shooting video, editing video. Like, there is such a wide range of skills that I learned from my TV days. Problem solving, being able to read and process information on the fly while on live television, things like that all impacts me every day now. I would say one of the big like tangible skills is handling those difficult conversations in TV. I started my TV career when I was, you know, 19, 20. I got my first full-time job when I was 20. And would have to go interview angry coaches and players after losing a game. And those are not fun conversations to have, but it really taught me the skills of like, I have to ask this question. You know it. You know it's coming. I can ask it in a professional way, but it's going to be asked, and I'm going to stand my ground on that. There was a player once that yelled at me after a certain World Series loss. And you learn from that, you know, you learn a thick skin and you learn how to deliver the hard news. And that happens in real estate. And I'm sure any business role, for example, in real estate, it's like you have a seller that loves their home and they're selling it. And you get a bad inspection report back and they're like, this isn't fair. And you have to be like, I'm so sorry to tell you the hard truth that you do have to treat for termites, or you do have to have the sewer line repaired or whatever. So the communication skills, the ability to have the hard conversations, and then the tangible skills of video. A video plays such a huge role in my business. Being comfortable in front of the camera in terms of my TikTok, my Instagram videos, my podcast, all of that has led to being a huge chunk of where I get my business. And I would not have that skill set had I not spent the time I did working in TV.
Got it. So I hadn't even thought it. So you can attribute some of your success in your real estate business from your social media success?
Yeah, I track where all of my clients come from, and I get about 37%, close to 40% of my clients come from social media. Most of them come from TikTok or YouTube, and those are random leads from the internet. These are not like people that I already know. And I know there's a lot of people that I already know that see lots of my content and then end up working with me because of that too. So it definitely has helped me in my business.
That is really good. I love that you tracked the numbers, because social media is one of those things that are very, it's very hard to get the metrics on it. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to say, because in coaching and working with women entrepreneurs, you know, you have to have a social media presence. We know that, you know, you can do the ads and all of that, but it's difficult to say with your organic growth, unless you're literally tracking that, asking those questions, where did you find me? How did you, you know, that type of thing. You're never going to know. So for you to have that 37%, that's a pretty decent, you know, that's a third of your business coming from.
And I asked the question. That's how I know hey, how did we get connected? Because you want to know if they were referred to you or on social media. I actually just last week launched some e-courses, and one of them is all about social media. It's my entire social media plan, and it applies to any business. Really, it's basically Mondays we post this, Tuesdays we post this. This is the strategy behind Instagram Reels versus TikTok. So that's available on my Instagram and TikTok. I have a link in my bio at Rach the Realtor KC, but it's really just about consistency and showing up every day, and then the follow-up and asking the question to make sure you're tracking where people are coming from.
I love that. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm going to put my social media manager on that. That's awesome. So what is your best piece of advice for women who want to start their own business? Doesn't necessarily have to be that they're looking into buying and selling homes per se, but just because a business is a business, and there's certain business structures that every person needs to have in order to be successful. What's your best piece of advice for women who are looking to start their own business, or maybe they've been in business, but they want to up level, or they're struggling? What's your best piece of advice?
Yeah, I mean, there's a really high failure rate in real estate agents. It's about 80% of agents drop out within their first 5 years. 80, wow. 80. And I left a steady full-time job to go into real estate. So I'm crazy. But I think part of the reason that is such a high dropout rate is because people don't realize that it is a business just as much as it is like starting your own dentist office or whatever. So you have to treat it as a business no matter what you're doing. So that's like just getting the building blocks in place. Open a business checking account. Make sure you're saving for taxes. Make sure you have health insurance lined up. So like the boring logistical stuff can absolutely like bog you down and keep you from doing all of the more like fun, actual income producing things. So for me, I can like have a lot more peace of mind and clear my head to be able to focus on the creative and the marketing side if I have all those foundational building blocks in place. So I would say focusing on those, getting those things just knocked out early on while you have the time to do it, like forming your LLC, all of that good stuff is super important. And then the other thing I would say is committing to work hours. I think a lot of agents and entrepreneurs in general get into a business thinking, well, I get to work for myself, so I'm just going to set my hours. And then they think that means that they can just kind of like let business come to them. I think it's super important whenever you're working hours, whenever you thrive the best. For me, I really do like a Monday through Friday kind of business hours situation. And then committing, like I am working during this time. And I've done that from when I very first started. And then if I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do, that's when like the magic happens. It's like, okay, I have this hour. What can I come up with to try to generate business or take my job to the next level?
I like those. They're both such good pieces of advice. And that having your set working hours also gives you those boundaries on your personal side as well. Mm-hmm. And it's very interesting that you talk about the business foundations, because so often women are moved by the emotion and the excitement of getting involved in their business. Or they have this big, beautiful idea of what they want their business to be. That keeps us in what I call the big visionary portion of our brain and not going back into the detail portion of our brain. And the detail is where the money is made, really. You know, it's getting all of those foundational pieces in place so that you have the support so that your business can grow. So that's great advice. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I know when I have been out there doing things like networking or speaking and meeting new people, it's crucial to bring in new leads, even if it's just nurturing collaborative relationships or just getting to know other people to help build your business that way. So what is, I oftentimes there's a lot of real estate agents that are out in the networking field. Why is that so important to build a business that's based on relationships versus based on that, you know, just simply buying and selling something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I approach a little differently with my business. I focus on my relationships with like people I'm already know and already am genuinely in relationship with. And that counts my social media followers too. So I'm trying to think if I've ever attended like just a pure networking event, maybe one, like kind of as a favor to a friend. I don't do that stuff personally. It just doesn't feel natural to me. So for me, it's more about like staying connected with the people I'm already connected with rather than going out and trying to form new connections. And the way that we do that on my team is we stay in flow with our clients by steady contacts throughout the year. We have a marketing plan where we touch them 30 times throughout the course of the year. And almost none of it has anything to do with real estate. It's inviting them to events and sending them thank you notes and making sure we acknowledge their birthdays and things like that, that make them know that we care about them as humans and want to stay in touch with them and remind them like, hey, we have the fun team, like come hang out with us. You want to be a part of what we have going on over here. So that's not to plug my e-courses again, but that's another e-course I did. That's called our marketing in real life e-course. And it spells out how we do that, but postcards, events, emails, text messages, all those things, staying in touch with the people we already know, because we all know lots of people. So for me, it's like, I don't know. I just don't think it's good return on investment on my time to go make this random new connection when I have all these people that we already know and like each other that, hopefully we can, you know, then do business together down the road.
You know, another brilliant piece of advice. Thank you for sharing that, because it is something that a lot of people try to do, men, women, it doesn't matter. It's like you're constantly going out there and trying to get new leads, right? Get new leads. And we fail to nurture the ones that we have mm-hmm. and stay connected with them. One of the things, I have a three-piece, shameless plug, three-piece of the platform, the profit, the privilege, and the power of the platform, you know, how to take public speaking, or I should say your public speaking career, move it into a professional speaking career to build your business. And one of the criteria that I always tell people to really genuinely look at is it when you're negotiating a fee, stop and think about, okay, if I'm going to make, let's say, once all my expenses are going to be paid, and I'm going to make $1,000 profit, I'm just throwing that figure out there for, you know, for going and doing this. And it's going to take me 2 days because I'm going to have to travel to get there or whatever the situation is. How much value is your time, right? People don't always look at your time value, what your time is worth. So taking that same amount of time and smiling and dialing, right? And connecting with the people that you're already connected with, or people who already know, like, and love you. They already have a relationship with you. What's the better use of your time? You don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to get on it, right? Because you've got, if you just do those emails or make those phone call outreaches to people that you're already connected to, you can actually make a much bigger profit in your business. So
absolutely.
Good way to look at all that. Yeah. When in reading your bio, when I read that you were, let me see, the Ingram's Business Journal's 20 in their 20s. So that's pretty impressive that you, that's a great accolade to be able to say.
Man, just in the nick of time too. I turned 30 like 4 months after that. So. Yeah.
Slid in right under the wire.
I did. I walked in and I was like, what's up, kids? Like, you know, but no, it was really cool, especially because I think real estate agents and a lot of professionals, you stay in your circles, you know, you go to dentist, you know, conferences or whatever. And for me, it's like, I'm always around real estate agents. I'm always talking to real estate agents. It was really good to get to talk to and network with and like pick brains of people in other fields. And like, it makes you think different about your field. Like, you know, taking their marketing strategies for their accounting firm, and then how can I apply those to my real estate business kind of thing. So it also was just like really exciting to see like the next generation of leaders coming up and how like energetic and diverse and interesting and cool they were. So super excited. That's regional to Kansas City. So super excited about, you know, whose hands hold the future of our city.
Aw, I like that. That's very cool. That's a very good way. And there's a message in that too, right? Because there is a whole, so I am that, you know, Gen X generation, right? So I'm coming in from a different point of view. And it's been very interesting in my business looking at the people in their 20s and their values and their what's important to them and their viewpoints on the planet and relationships and all of that is very different, not very different, but has differences than, you know, those of us who are, you know, pushing 60. And it's so refreshing to be able to have those conversations and look at the diversity. And I think there's so much to be learned on both sides, right? There's so much to be gained on both sides. And it gives us a fresh look at where things are at and where things are going. And it is very exciting to see that and see what's going.
I actually, when I started real estate, joined a team, and it was two women that have been doing business for a combined 70 years. And they both are, much older than I. Their grandkids are the same age as me, roughly. So it has been so fun to learn from each other. And to every credit in the world to them, every crazy idea I threw against the wall, they were like, all right, we'll try it. And I think a lot of people that have been established and successful in a field wouldn't have been so open-minded to what I brought to the table. And of course, I learned an insane amount of information from them that really, I think, helped learn the shorten the learning curve. So I do think like every generation has things to learn from the other. And if you approach it from a stance of like curiosity and open-mindedness, then like, that's what makes the world so beautiful, is that we can take the best things from each other and make the world a better place.
Very much. What a beautiful statement. I love that. And that's kind of perfect to kind of wrap it up. It's been a wonderful conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed meeting you. I am one of these days, I want to get my husband back there. I've gone through Kansas City for a speaking tour years ago, and very much wanted to bring my husband back. He's a big barbecue kind of guy. So one of these days I got
about to be. Yeah. Yeah.
I might be reaching out to you, Rachel, and saying, okay, my hubby and I are coming back there. Where do we go?
Oh, I'd love to help. It's my favorite conversation.
Next to sports and real estate.
Yeah. Yeah. I have lots of favorites.
Well, that's awesome. Okay. So let's talk about how the listeners can stay in touch with you. You are, of course, in various different places on social media. So Facebook, Instagram, you're both Rach the Realtor KC. And then I don't have my glasses on. And then your YouTube channel, we're going to provide a link because there's a bunch of letters there.
Oh, yeah.
You need to get your name. You need to do the at Rach the Realtor.
I thought I did, and then it changed it. I don't know. Basically, any web, if you just Google Rach the Realtor KC, you'll find all my social stuff. I do need
to
do
that. All pop up. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. And that's also your Rach the Realtor KC is your .com is your website. So everybody can stay connected with you there. Mm-hmm. And you said that you mentioned a couple of those, a couple of the courses that you have that you've launched, and those you said that they can get to those through on your website or just through your links?
Website is being built right now. It's just in my landing pages. If you click on my Instagram or TikTok bio, there's a link in bio and you can click on over to the e-course homepage. And there's one on social media, one on in real life marketing, which is like the, you know, in-person marketing. And then there's two for new real estate agents that are just getting started.
Love it. Love it. Kelly, all things, we liaison will be putting those in all of in the show notes for this particular episode of the We podcast. So thank you so much, Rachel, for being on the show. It was a pleasure meeting you. I'm going to go follow you on all those platforms. And enjoy the entertainment as well as the wisdom that you provide.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun, and I'll follow you right back.
Awesome. Sounds great. And for the listeners, be sure to do the same. Follow us both. Give us both a thumbs up. Share this information. If you thought it was a fun interview or there were things that could benefit others, then please give us, click the share button and share it out to your group. If you would like to be featured on the Women on Earth on the Weed podcast, or you know somebody that you think would be a great guest, then be sure to reach out to Kelly. That's K-E-L-L-I at Women Entrepreneurs Extraordinaire, all plural, Women Entrepreneurs with an S, extraordinaire.com. And we'll see what we can do. If you have questions for us, then shoot us the questions. We are also launching our Women Excelling Everywhere app. We're really excited about that, where we're going to have a private offline community, or I should say private off social media community, that where you can kind of interact and find all things to support all. It is our success collaborative. So stay connected with that and be watching for the book with the same name coming out early next year, where we are highlighting 20 to 25 wonderful, amazing women like Rachel who have reached success and want to share their story. So be sure to keep an eye out for that. And until next time, I want everyone to, as I always like to finish up, take a nice deep breath in. Go out there and just simply enjoy every moment.